Write down Hassel Martin tomorrow. Okay. Welcome to the next episode of Comedy Guy. After the goddamn drunken shambles that the last episode was, it was me and Tim and Tumbert sitting in the old studio just drinking beer. I think there was a bolt order in the middle of it. There was like a good 5 minute section where Tim and Tumbert had left to find, like, Tumbert's gone in one direction to find the bolt driver. Tim's down the street trying to find him. I'm left in the studio. It's late at night. I've had a bunch of beer and I'm getting confessional into the microphone with no one around. It was a full doozy. So, yeah. You know, we're back to regular broadcasting. Right. And I'm here with my friend Martin Junna talking about comedy in Estonia. See, in Estonia, not Comedy Estonia.
Yeah.
In the Republic of Estonia. Right. Martin is one of the leads of Rutukume. Fantastic improv troupe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You good. Even saw a show.
I did. We had the show in Tartu and I was so good. I read your newsletter and everything. And I opened that shit. So you got that good, open rate.
Yeah.
And I saw that you had a bar prov show. And I was like, bar prov, that's an excellent idea. Who would have told you and suggested that you should do bar prov shows? I should go and see this bar prov show. And it was cool, man. It was great. You know, nice. There was a nice crowd. Plenty, you know, enough people. You know,
yeah. We'll see how it got. It was the first one, so we'll see how it progresses on. So there were like a couple. It's weird now if there are bar prof shows which are free, we see like people who haven't visited our shows for a long time, they're like returning. And we had a new people, like there was this couple I haven't seen them before, so they stood out. And after the show, I asked, like, how did they enjoy it? Because I'm always interested in new people's opinion. But yeah, they very liked it. They were like, great. I don't understand how no one cannot like this.
Okay, yeah, that's a bucket show, was it?
Yeah,
that was
a bucket show.
Great,
yeah.
Great, great, great. Nice, nice, nice. Yeah. Okay, so that was the first one. You do Tartu, Mökku. And are there plans for others?
Yeah, Tallinn is the, I'm going to mix it up again, Vinkel?
It's in Old Town.
Yeah.
Vinkel, yes.
Vinkel, yeah.
Okay, in the underground where there used to be a Mad Murphy, not Mad Murphy's, no, whatever.
Patrick, St. Patrick?
Patrick's, that's yes. It. One of those ones. Yeah. Upstairs, near the Sorkaria Street or whatever. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. The downstairs. Yes. Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, once a month there and once a month in Mökku.
Nice.
So, and we're also going to have our student stage, which is in our improv studio. And that main audience is other improvisers. So
that's more of a training.
Yeah, yeah. You can do try your format or whatever you want to do. So yeah, we decided to keep them more in a theatrical place and not so much for new people. But they can still join if they wish to.
Sure, I mean, there's a bit of both, right? Yeah, you need, you know, you got to train at home on the training ground, and sometimes you got to be out there showing it to everyone, which is the bar prov shows. Have you had the first show at Vinkel yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I wasn't there.
Okay, good.
I wasn't.
Because you missed the Tartu.
Yeah. I would love to do the both towns shows, but I have the Tallinn ones are on Thursday, and I have classes to teach in Tartu. Can't skip those.
Actual Rutukume classes?
Yeah. The,
what do you teach?
The curriculum.
No? Oh, yes, that's right. We talked about this.
And Avatud Improv, the open free classes.
Right.
Free drop-in.
Okay. So the first Vinkel, so that was the first. So you've done one in Tartu, one in Tallinn.
Yes.
Okay, so far. And the next one's in October
already?
Yes.
4th of October will be in the Mökku, and 7th October will be in Vinkel.
Okay.
We'll see, yeah.
I mean, think you could. Okay. So what I'm trying to think of now is that's cool. And let's say they go fine. I'm trying to think, do you like what would be the next steps from here? Do you think that you would like to, A, increase the frequency of them in Tallinn and Tartu, and extra added points question at the end, if you did increase the frequency to, let's say, 2 a month, do you think that it would be better or more interesting to find a separate venue for that second show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've thought about it, but yeah, we in Tallinn for sure we'd like to like we I think we're trying to at least now our plan is to get one a show per week.
Okay. Nice. good goal.
But in different venues.
Yes.
Different part of Tallinn. In Tartu, I don't know. Maybe twice, but I don't know about the place. Tartu is not that big.
Right. There's not that many other options.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We've still, because we've only got Merku open mic right now, I think, in Tartu. Where else? There was something. There's a some other space in Apparaatikeskus that's near the Komtili, not in the Komtili. I don't think we're going to do it in Komtili anymore because the room got too big.
Mm.
It was kind of too big and too packed and you're right next to the pizza oven and it was a little bit not like an open mic-y kind of feel that we wanted. But there was, I was in a meeting and I remember something, there was something near two doors away from Komtili. But yeah, we struggle as well to find that extra space in Tartu right now.
Oh, Kolm Tilli. All right, now I got it.
Yeah, sorry. My Estonian lesson's going so well. Yeah. So well, everything. Yes.
Got it. Yeah. I've been there and eaten food.
Oh, look at this guy.
They have a stage, yeah.
Mr. Worldwide, yeah. Tartu's hard for something else. I'm trying to think what else. As I walk through town, Vilda, but nah, not open mic. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we have.
Yeah, maybe twice a month in that place.
I mean, it can be. It could be something that see how it goes. Yeah. But, you know, that is also one of those things where you might do twice a month in Tartu Merku just because you can. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck it. Okay, we don't have another up. Cool. We'll just do twice a month there now. Because not only, you know, maybe people want to come, but you guys want to get into that habit.
Yeah,
you want to build your own routine of doing that. And then in Tallinn, okay, Vinkel, other areas that you might, and there's always Botik, I guess. It's a little bit harder as you get into the colder months, but, you know, it could be worth, it's very flexible, easy room to kind of use at the back there. People are very, I think, used to going to Pohjate House now, down there at the end. Definite drop off when that people can't scooter out there or it's a little bit harder to take the tram or something out there. Yeah. But you're still good for a while, at least. I think it's not to crap on Botic. I love those guys. Where else are we doing our mics around Tallinn these days? So we're doing tomorrow night. Oh, so tonight we have Tallinn Merku.
Cool.
Okay, so Tallinn Merku is always that option there. And we're also doing tomorrow night. There's some reason why Kivi Papakarid doesn't want us to do shows right now. And I don't think it's about us. I think it's something about COVID and them not wanting to have events in the room or something like that. So for the moment, we're using Purtse Beer Bar as a stage. So Porte is just here in Teleskivi, just under the bridge thing in the old back entrance there. It's like a craft. There's nudist wine down there. There's a coffee place and Porte is right there. And I think we can fit maybe 40 or 50 into that, 40 or something into that space. And I don't think they've got gear. I think they're renting the sound gear for us, but they're very enthusiastic. So Teleskivi, there's one, Teleskivi. Botic. Any other? What are you thinking else around Tallinn so far?
I don't know what's the situation anymore. But once there was, you know, near TTÜ,
Burning
Toltec. Yeah, Burning.
Long gone. It's something else now.
Okay.
A thing in that area. Even though it seems like the different area, it seems close, but it's far in the Hiupubi. So there is Hiupubi. It's a possibility. I find Hiupubi is more countryside than countryside shows that we do. It's interesting, but they do have a separate room upstairs now. Oh, nice. We used to perform downstairs in their main thing. And now I think the dude's understood that he wants us upstairs in a separate space so he can still sell downstairs. So there is a separate room. It has gear. It's upstairs. Option, possibly.
Can try. Yeah.
What else I think that's. I can't remember. So adding another. I agree with you. Finding extra space, a different room is good.
We're trying to keep the mentality that if we do something once and it doesn't work, we're not going to drop it immediately.
Okay, that's a good one. What's your, give us some context for this. You mean if the show doesn't work, people don't come out to it once?
Yeah. For example, we do regular workshops. Mm-hmm. And first workshops, like nobody comes. We're like... Maybe let's keep going for now. Let's still organize them. Let's not cancel it. Let's do it for a while and then make our conclusions whether to keep going.
Okay, and these are the workshops that you're doing in your studio.
You've got one in Thailand
and one in Tartu.
But yeah, well, the same mentality would go to the shows also. Mm-hmm. So for example, if we start doing a TU Bubi first show, maybe 10 people show up. I'm like, we're not going to cancel it immediately.
Yeah, something like that. I would honestly say, I think Heel Puppy would be, I think it's good for you guys. I think it would be something that it might be a hard sell at first. Mm-hmm. Like just, I think it could work, but just keep in mind, yeah, it's not going to be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you know that. But it's a good thing. We've got there's a lot of young people out there. That's been pretty, it's never really let us down once we got Heel Puppy going out there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, okay. I find for me, the other way that I view shows is they're typically the first show, like when we were starting Vascavetti, which is our sort of best of open mic show, and this pattern I've seen so many times. The first show is great. The first show is huge. The first show is packed out. Second show next month, dog shit. Just nobody comes. I don't know. Like, so everyone came the first month. No one comes the second month. Third month, it picks up again. A little bit more. And then by fourth month, it's like you're back to what that might actually be as a maintainable level. So Vascavetti first time was full. Second time was last month. Well, on the day that they brought in the new COVID regulations, like passport, QR code. Yeah, so everyone was out of their mind. So... not only so that we had about 25 people in Von Kral for that, which was quite fine, and it was still a great show. And we even ended up filming that. Our Christina, who's a sales manager for Comedy Estonia, she wanted footage to mm-hmm. sell the comedians with, mm-hmm. and said, "Hey, let's film this." And our video guy had nothing to do, so for a very small fee, he came and set his camera up, and he's real fucking good at getting audience laughter these days. Mm. He's done almost all of our specials, the last 5-6 specials. Yeah. So there was 25 people in the room and you wouldn't know it from the footage. He's that good at picking up the crowd laughter. Yeah,
because I've watched like the Estonian TV comedy shows with a live audience and the laughter is barely there. probably the audience is laughing, but it's not recorded.
Right, are they mic'd up correctly? So this week is the third one. That's right. So this week is the third one and it should be a bit better. Like everything was settled in after a month. And so maybe it's a little bit of an artificial. The second one was down because of the COVID rules that just come in. But I don't know. It's always first good, second bad, third okay, fourth you're back to normal again. So I think you got to see, unless you can see like a big fucking problem, unless you're just like, okay, there's a real obvious problem why this doesn't work, I'd say yeah, stick it out.
Yeah. How are you doing with the COVID pass checking?
It's going all right.
Really?
We kind of got it down now at the venues. We're scanning on the way in, so this is only at Arimati theater shows. We're doing it at mics as well, but it's a bit more informal with less people. You can be more formal. But at the mics, usually one of us, like me, I'd be at the main door scanning people on the way through. And then there's a ticket control before to actually get into the hall. We've got some COVID testing so the people can go and take the quick test. That's rolling now. Mm. Did you guys get that sorted?
Our bar prof shows, usually the bar checked. Mm. And in our classes, they're so small.
Yeah, don't worry for the classes. No.
We have hey, 7 friends yeah. who always here. We're going to do a class.
But I know you weren't there at Vinkel, but I know that the what to say, the administrators, the guys who run Vinkel, they're very like, they're don't want to ask for certificates. They like taking a stand or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sent us also the I don't know, document how they do it. Mm-hmm. It was like they're not checking.
Right.
And you can come, yeah. You can eat food and drink without the mask. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah, yeah. But other places are, yeah, checking more.
I think, look, it's hard to know what to do because in that, so let's say in that instance with Vinkel then, fine, those guys have, you know, cool, that's their venue. Mm-hmm. They've decided that they want to take that position. Okay, right on. You know, as the person coming in doing the entertainment, you know, do you, okay, legally still check COVID codes? I mean, I would say legally it's the venue, mm-hmm. man, it's the venue owner, no matter what, yeah. right? Who's going to get done, not you. So there's that, you know. I guess it would be only if you morally felt that I can't run a show without checking the codes, and then, you know, there's going to be a discussion there. Hey, I really do want to check the codes, at least for the back room in Vinkel. But, you know, if the venue doesn't want it, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
That's how it is.
I've heard a number of businesses that I have spoken to, and not just venues, that are like, Todavis and Met can come for us if they want. Come down here and arrest us if you want. Like, I hear, I see some token news article about like, oh, the police went to some restaurant and checked some IDs. But like, I know a whole bunch of restaurants and venues, gyms, different places that are like, come along. Mm. You know, nah, we're not asking. And Todavis and Met are welcome to come along and talk to us about it.
Here's something I experienced this weekend. I felt I didn't have a weekend.
Why is that? Why?
Because I did workshops and office work on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm thinking maybe I should do a day where I don't do any stuff.
That's a very good idea. Have a day off. Yes, you need a day off.
Even though like I didn't like work 8 hours. No, maybe if I count in the driving on Saturday, I'll drive half an hour, 2 hour workshop, another hour, maybe on Saturday. But on Sunday, it wasn't so bad. But still, you have like something planned that's like taking your mind gotta do that, gotta do it good. It cuts a day, yeah.
I think it's important to have a weekend off. I finally got a weekend off because I felt that's also why I got a little ill. It's not COVID. I just got a little cold, but it was from, I think, from always having something on the weekend. So maybe you got Sunday off, but I'm convinced once Sunday is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like one day isn't enough. Because you're right. Even if I've got to go do something, I've got to scan the tickets at Ari's show in Arukula on a Saturday night. Fine, but it's always on your mind during the day. I got to do some work. I got to be done by 4:15 so I can drive out to there and do it. Even if it's Arukula, it's not even that far away. But you know, there is something about having a whole 2 days without any obligations.
Yeah, and I have this weird feeling that. So I think same is with you that most of our work is after 5 p.m. All the shows, the workshops and so on. So on the day, during the day or during the morning, doing a couple of office jobs, administrative things. And then you're like, well, I have 3 or 4 hours. Like I've done the main things, but kind of I feel guilty that my girlfriend is working. Should I work too? it's weird if I play PlayStation.
But then you've got to, you know, when she knocks off at 5 o'clock, that's when you get going.
Yeah.
Right. So what else could you play PlayStation? But do you feel like sometimes it can be like with the business stuff, there's always a bit more business stuff to do? Or are you better at saying, okay, I've done my emails for the day, so I'm good with that?
I think I have like the things I have to like things that have to get done, so I can do them, and I usually finish them by like I'm very productive in the morning, so if I plan them in the morning, I usually finish them by lunch. So I usually have after lunch 2 o'clock, so on I have like kind of free if I, but I can do more if I want. But yeah, I feel more motivated in the beginning of the season to like, all right, I'm gonna do the marketing. Let's learn a bit more. Now I don't feel so motivated to learn more marketing strategies. So yeah, I have an option to do more office work, but I'm kind of lazy and just procrastinate.
Okay, yeah, as the season rolls on, I feel it too. I feel like we're deep in the middle of the season right now for Comedy Estonia. And yeah, we're just getting through everything. Like, you know, your work piles up and we've got to do everything that's important. And we're just, you know, and that's kind of it is. When you're in the middle of it, you're not doing so much long, you're working on the stuff that's, it's a busy period. And this is not summer, like it's a planning period. And we're thinking about all the long-term goals and the visions.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just executing. That's just doing. That's what autumn is for, almost.
That's nicely put. You're in the execution phase.
Yes, just doing. I've been back into it. So there's some shows for me to promote, and I'm discovering that I do and I don't miss promoting shows. I was getting overwhelmed because I'm still dealing a lot with John Cleese. The Talon shows got moved to 2023, which is fine. I'll call myself the local promoter, but I'm not, it's a kind of a different relationship I have to this one. But anyway, I'm the guy who's supposed to make it happen in Tallinn. And that's fine. The venue's booked. We've moved it. It's in the room and it's just in 2023. So it's, you know, it's 2 more years of this thing's going to be a fucking stick in my ass. Trying to, you know, it's still in the air and okay, just until this project is wrapped up, I guess. But in Riga, we've had so many problems that the venue is going into renovations and they probably will be closed in that time. And it's an issue to know what to do. And the venue in Riga is run by the city and it's really political and it's like super Soviet bureaucracy of the this venue. So that was, and we were looking to move it, but then I realized I don't have the technical skill to move it. And so that was a pain in my ass. And I remembered like, oh, I remember why I don't want to promote international acts anymore. Like when it's good, it's good. Mm-hmm. But when it gets hard, it sucks. Having to move it to a new venue and a new seating map. And then Daniel Sloss is coming and that's not too bad. In Venekotorikeskus. I need to hire in a couple extra technicians. That's fine. A few extra light states. We need a new sound guy. That's 2 nights there, but that's not so bad. And we just today, I think there's a marketing campaign going up for Sloss today from Clear Channel. I think there's going to be Sloss posters on garbage bins all around Tallinn. I forget how many, but they offer us a deal. And I think someone pulled out and they had 2 weeks free, so they gave us a very good deal. So to slam dunk the last tickets, so Daniel Sloss's face is going to be on garbage bins. I know, it sounds like trying to sell it to his manager. We've got this great opportunity, high exposure, garbage bins. No, but nice garbage bins. So that's going up this week. So thankfully, Henrik's mostly got my back in these things. He's already talking to Clear Channel and all the different JCD, those companies that do that sort of outside thing. I've got to put Sloss on. So that's on my plate. We're also bringing my friend American John McCombs. He is American and he's been here once or twice before. Oh God, I can't remember. But all through the pandemic, I would talk to John and, you know, and I would say, John, if you fucking make it to Estonia, I will put shows on for you. How you get here, it's up to you. But if you get here, I'll put on shows for you. So it looks like he's finally coming here and we're going to do the good old Helsinki, a Riga show and then Tartu and Gang Club and then Tallinn. And he's actually going to film his show here because it was cheaper for him to film it here in Estonia than to film it in Chicago or back at home.
Is he not familiar with the audience?
Oh, it's going to be great. They're good. there's not so many English shows. I mean, Sloss is coming, but besides that, there hasn't been so many English shows. So we're good to put some of those on. So I've been doing that. There's a good old show. And the other big thing that I'm working on, oh, I didn't talk to this before, is that we are going to do Ari's show in London, in Brussels, and in Helsinki. Oh,
you have a local promoter?
Well, up and down. So in London, our comedy buddies have hooked us up with a venue there called the Aces and Spades. It's 40 seats, mm-hmm. and we're going to do two shows on a night. And if we sell 80 tickets in London, we'll call that great success, mm-hmm. because it's always hard. Like, it seems like, oh, it's London, there's going to be some Estonians. Like, but when you're in a big city, like, not like every Estonian in London drops everything they're going to do on that particular day and will come and see Ari, right? Yeah. Like, it's still, if it suits them and they could do it.
So it is in Estonian?
In Estonian language. It's going to be the Flamingo show. And yeah. Roger and Tambet are in town as well. So we're going to put that on. And then... as it so happened, Ari was booked in Brussels the days after to do the English event. Mm. So we're going to put an Estonian event on the day before that. And that was a little more tricky because, again, coming back to local promoter, which mm-hmm. usually you would want, but in England, okay, I got a contact with the venue. They're a comedy club. They know what's up. So I'm good with that. We're going to sell the tickets on our web shop. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that ourselves. And selling is either the Facebook group for Estonians in London or just our general comedy Estonia channels, getting to people, please tell. And I think between the Estonians in London group and our comedy Estonia channels, we're getting to most, like they'll find out about it at least. Yeah. So there's that. In Brussels, the room is... we're not sure yet, 50 or 100. They've got some new COVID rules. I'm just waiting to hear from the bar. It's like a bar. They've got a back area there. And we're getting help from an Estonian lady, Eili. Eili Volt does open mics. And she's lived in Brussels for like 10 years. She's Estonian, has mostly performed in English there, but is helping us with the venue. So local help. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll sell the tickets on our web shop. I'm going to London and I'm going to Brussels to be on the spot door guy and tech guy and tour manager. So that's kind of cool. Then Ari's going for a holiday to Malaga or something afterwards and I'll come back to Estonia. So yeah, it's kind of cool. I go there to London, we do the show. Ari and I take the Eurostar to Brussels. Oh, it's all fucking, this is the rock and roll lifestyle. So yeah, in Brussels, again, if we sell 50 or 100, we'll just call that great success mm-hmm. and done. And then there's going to be two nights in Helsinki as well at our favorite venue, Manala, which is a venue we know for many years. We know how to use because we were analyzing that Birgit Susanna Hunt and Henrik Norman, their show, mm-hmm. they're doing it in Helsinki and they're doing it in a big theater. Mm. And I thought that theater was 300 seats, but they claim it's 150. All right, I'm a bit confused, but I think it's much harder than it seems to put on an Estonian show in Helsinki for anything. Mm-hmm. So, okay, maybe BSH can, you know, push the button on Sky Plus and push it real hard and every construction worker listens to Sky Plus. So maybe, you know, she's got a wild card in that one. But we're doing two nights in a smaller room of 100 instead in Helsinki. Mm-hmm. I think it can be quite variable. I think Estonians in Helsinki could be coming back on the weekend anyway. Yeah, maybe they've found another opportunity if they really want to see the show. So have you ever done anything in Helsinki?
I think probably not. Mm. I've gone to Tampere.
Oh, for the fest. Yeah, with the...
Trent Pence.
Trent, that's right. Yeah. You've done Tampere stuff, but not specifically. Yeah,
it's not that we organize or... Yeah. Mm. Nothing in Helsinki. I don't think we've performed there. Yeah, I've used Helsinki only as I'm going through this city.
Yeah, I think we've done once or twice done Estonian language shows and it's been all right. But again, that's a couple of years ago. So our profile is much larger mm-hmm. since then. So, and particularly for Ari Matti is the great draw card. So yeah, London, we've struggled. We've done London once or twice before as well. Always been tricky, but again, now... big profile. Now Ari is the biggest profile one. Now it's several years later, our things are grown. So yeah, if we get 80 tickets sold in London, that would be, you know, wow, this is tremendous. And we'll plan a bigger show later if that's a thing. And Brussels as well, just because he happened to be there. And I'm open to other cities as well. I don't know where else Estonian people.
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana, yeah. Definitely Australia if he makes it down there. I think Sander did one in the Esti Maia in Sydney because he was in Melbourne. Oh, no, Esti Maia in Melbourne. Yeah. I think because he was there anyway.
There's also a Facebook group, Estonians in Chicago.
Okay, all right.
There's a Estonian house.
Oh, no shit.
Even we performed there.
Yeah, when you were sleeping on the floor. I can't remember these stories.
Yeah, they came, pick us up with cars, drove us to that Estonian house. We did a volleyball match and an improv show.
Okay.
And they grilled us corn.
Okay, right on. Real
hot dogs and corn.
Okay, Americana, some Estonian mix with Americana.
Very fun. Mm-hmm. I wish our improv would have been better, but that time. But lovely people.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun again to get on the road and do some international shows. And okay, I get a trip to London for 2 days and a trip to Brussels for 2 days to kind of see how it is. And it's pretty low risk, I guess. So but there's little things. Yeah, I've got to get the accommodation, and now I'm looking at accommodation. Oh God, we're not sleeping on the floor. So
need some furniture.
That's right. I need a bed at least to get those. We got the flights booked in. Ari doesn't have an opener in Brussels right now. So if any of the Estonian comedians want to travel to Brussels, they could do 10 minutes and open for Ari, but it's a long prospect.
Traveling takes time.
So I've got those projects on my plate right now, which is all of a sudden piled up, and I went, I don't have enough time for myself now. I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
But Sloss will be done soon. Okay, London and Brussels will be done soon. Cleese will never go away until he dies or something. I don't fucking know what's up with that.
I have a question though. Bring in the international comedian, be it Cleese or Sloss, do you guys hang out afterwards, like your open micers or comedians can come and join? Do you talk, or is it more like a international star does his show and goes back to his hotel?
It depends on the star. So the real big stars, the big star when we did Bill Burr in Riga, I might have said two words to Bill Burr the whole time. You know, his manager took care of it. The manager was taking him through, and I'm not there to, it's not about me. So no problems, do that thing. I'm trying to think, big comedians. Daniel Sloss might, it depends. Ari knows him as well. Ari knows him personally and, has spent time with him and stayed at his place in Edinburgh and things like that. So. The guys are usually up for something. There's usually a meet and greet with the audience. I'd be surprised if Daniel doesn't want to do a meet and greet, possibly if he's super tired after the show. But for one show, I'd be surprised if he's not coming out meeting everyone. And then hanging out afterwards, hard to say. I don't know. It's really up to him. Or is he just, I really have got to just be diplomatic and subtle and prioritize what the artist wants to do and sort of read the room with them. You know, does he want to go for a beer and maybe just a few of us, me and Ari and a few of the other comedians, or does Sloss mind if there's more of us hanging around? You don't want this massive group, like 20 people. That's also maybe a bit awkward or something like that. All just, here we are for Daniel. It's been so long. But when it was when it was lesser known comedians, when we were doing the 4-night tour and just bringing out great English comedians that we knew or international comedians, then it was usually go out and piss up and go eat food and drink and have plenty of time to talk with them if they're at a pub. But if they're kind of their big show in the theater, then you got to play it a little bit more like that. But it's important. Those things are important to time. I've realized that time with international performers is important for our local comedians. And I didn't understand it was important till I realized that our Comedy Latvia had never got that as much. And Comedy Latvia had never got as much exposure over the years. Because usually our comedians are flying to Riga, do the show, okay, yes, have a few beers afterwards, fine, and then they're done. Where the Estonian guys would probably come to Riga, then they do Tartu, Tallinn, Helsinki, and they'd spend like 4 days with them. And I eventually understood that that multiple days of exposure of almost like doing a tour where you can just talk casually and it's not just sort of one night on the piss or something like that. There was a lot of good contacts, knowledge transfer, stories, information, relationships made in that time, which I think has helped our Estonian guys. They know. And then also in Edinburgh, if you've been to, have you been to Edinburgh Fringe, you guys?
No.
Okay, so going to Edinburgh Fringe is important as well. Those guys there, you know, they're very good at hustling gigs and talking to the comedians and building those relationships as well. So, yeah, I do want to, I don't want to keep being Mr. Big International Promoter, but we're still trying to find a way to still bring acts here so comedians can hang out. Is it ever something that's been on your mind to bring some international improvers here?
It has been, and we have brought. But like, how many international improvisers can you name? They're never famous for improv. Yeah, so there's no point in that sense. When we bring on like an international, let's say star, or low star, a good improviser, we usually there should be a workshop. And we should already have a student base, because when an international improviser is doing a workshop, well, he could do it for complete beginners, but like
that makes sense. Yeah,
there's no point for that.
They typically want to do an advanced level class because they're an advanced level. That's the great information you want out of this experience. Yeah, I want that advanced level info from them.
All right,
and that's fair.
And then they can do a show too. But it won't be as big as like stand up, but it still has its benefits though. I've seen like. I think like improv comedy Riga, I don't know what they're doing now, but they used to do that like once a month they bring on an international improviser. He does a workshop and they'll do a show together, and the show quality like increases because of that. And also it like brings the community together more, because like now you can see different style of improv maybe, or on a like maybe a higher level than you usually see. So I think it's for sure beneficial. But it won't be that big of like an impact. Yes. So that's my conclusion.
All right. There's a lot there to unpack. Bringing... the international performers. It is a good thing. It's good for... Because, okay, back in the day when we were establishing Comedy Estonia, I think definitely we gained credibility because we were bringing international acts. And certainly your big ticket items, okay, as soon as we drop Dylan Moran, everyone takes notice. So there's that. But then there is also just consistently bringing international acts does bring you some. Okay, there... I don't want to go too far out of my lane, but you know, was there something that we were also Comedy Estonia got credibility because we weren't just presenting Estonians? Culturally a little bit, like, you know, and then okay, when we were the ones bringing the big acts, now we're doing Eddie Izzard, now we're doing Jimmy Carr. Okay, there was a certain credibility that goes along with that, and we were able to in the beginning almost transpose or connect that to our local act. Now, I don't think we need that credibility anymore. And that's a big thing that has played into my decision to not do as many international shows, because the big ones for us, they're a shit ton of work. John fucking Cleese is a great example of this. Just endless work and not much money, but you do it because, you know, why do we do it? Because it's John Cleese. Because we're bringing John Cleese to Estonia. You know, it doesn't get any more legendary than that. But our, if I look at it from a business perspective, our domestic Estonian language stand-up comedy does not need the credibility of those international shows anymore. So I can detach them and I can independent, because before we're like, no, we've got to keep up English to keep it going. How would it be? Oh, sorry.
I have two things. I don't know if there are questions, but let's hear your thoughts. So, so when I would bring an international improviser, I don't think I'll ever bring him, hey, come to this Tallinn, or and then go back to your country. But usually it would be like he goes to Riga, he goes to Tallinn, he goes to Helsinki. He already has a kind of tour in mind, or somebody's bringing him, for example, the Copenhagen Improv Club maybe brings a person from America, and then like it's much closer to do this. So then it would not be such a financial catastrophe. But the other thing is, we're not doing regular English shows, and now we bring on an international improviser, and we're gonna do an English show. So I feel like there's a bit of conflict. We should have like a.
Do you feel that you and your local guys, because you're not practicing in English, so you're not up to, you know, sure, you got to sharpen the sword in English
As
well.
For us too. Like if we, if he's not coming with a troupe, and usually they're not, maybe two, maybe there will be like two people, then they can do a tour performance. But still, like probably a second half then. But yeah, I feel like we haven't, what's the word? Not educated, but like the audience doesn't have a habit to watch an English show. Like if it's expromptly now we have an English show. We should like have a regular English show. We can do it. And now comes an international improviser.
But there's two issues in that to break them apart though. One is, which you just said, I think, which is, will our audience, are they into English? Do they want to come and see English? You know, is that something that they expect from us? The other side of that is, are we capable of doing an English show in the English language at a level that we want to do? Are we capable of, now, you guys are great improvisers, but need to work. You need to practice that, sharpen that sword in that in another language as well.
Yeah, in Estonian, I can do freestyle rap. In English, I barely can make a sentence in beat. That makes sense.
Sure. So if you're not constantly practicing at least once a month or something as well in that, then it's hard for you. Okay, which then ties back into the nature of the show you put on. If you're bringing out one person, as you said, maybe two. So two people, maybe they could at least have the structure of the show themselves, and maybe you help out or something, do a first half of something and then a second half is just them and no one cares that you guys are fumbling through the first half or whatever, so to speak, relatively at least. But if it's just one person, because I was thinking, okay, they come into a workshop, that's cool, hang out for a few days and then also do some sort of event, which would be them maybe as the games or the structure of the show is oriented around that person, but your guys are support acts or supporting them in the scenes. I'm trying to act like I know about improv here, but we're trying here.
We can improvise together. And we can, there are like many possibilities. We can do the first half, and if he's with someone, they can do the second half, or we can do the first half. We together can do some improv things, and then they can do the other thing.
Sure.
So yeah, there are many possibilities.
The only solution that I can think of, that which is something that we're coming to as well, that whenever we were doing these international acts, they always seem to gently over time creep up and always got bigger and bigger, and or that the artist got a little bit better, and because they always want, oh, I want that headliner, that guy's great. And so even just when we just used to bring a comedian every month for the 4-night tour, it kind of crept up over time that the standard crept up. And so a little bit of expectation creeps up and then it's no longer as easygoing. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's no longer as easygoing anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting someone who could probably do a reasonable size room in England and here they are for us, and kind of lost some of that easygoingness. And we were trying to strip back the concept and be like, what's the fun part? Hanging out with comedians. Okay, how can we do that easier? Well, it's not going to be... Also now, because we've been bringing English comedians for so long, the comedians who were nobodies back in the day are now actual, you know, theater touring shows. And I'm not actually sure at the lower level, but the idea was to... So it was the concept was like Sander's Friends Comedy Tour or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just going to be someone that we know has a reasonable 30 minutes or something, you know, no star, not a headliner, still, maybe they've got their own show because everyone has their own show at Edinburgh, but you know, nothing like that. But just someone that we know personally and we know they're cool to hang out with and we know that they would be happy to come to Estonia for an airplane ticket and an Airbnb, you know, and hang out with us. And that we were going to put a few mics on in that week. And then maybe at the end of the week, it's like 50 seats, €5 a ticket, Sander hosts, and you know, then we see that person do whatever they've got, 30 minutes or something, like low fucking pressure. And I'm not sure if it's exactly applicable to you, but you know, the people aren't coming to that show. Well, the idea as well is going to be called Sander with Friends because, okay, it's got Sander's name in it, so that will sell it. But I still think we could just put on kind of a random English night and, you know, if it's $5, people will come. So somehow stripping the idea back. Do you know some cool people in England or even better that, you know, maybe in Copenhagen, maybe in Europe or something like
that? I think I have the connections to like ask around, even if, hey, is anyone coming near or to Europe that we can also...
Wait. No. Now you're crossing the concepts. If someone's coming to Europe... That is inherently already a bigger thing than what I'm proposing here. Oh. If some American is coming to Europe, even if they're but they've got a couple of things, it's getting booked into a thing. I'm talking about stripping it way back to even being, I know the people in Copenhagen or I know the people in Berlin or something. Yeah. I know they're cool dudes. I know that, you know, we might even be on a quite equal level, but you know, they're a bit more advanced, or maybe they've done more English or something like that. And I know them personally, and I reckon, you know, hey, they would like to come and spend 3 nights in Estonia. Yeah. Well, you know, from Berlin, maybe there's Ryanair or something, Airbnb. They understand this. Yeah. They're not coming here for money. Yeah. To like, how can we just really strip back that concept?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, in that case, something to think about for sure. Yeah. I have contacts. I haven't talked to them in a while. But I've seen some Facebook posts. I think they're still doing improv. I have a fear that since we're not doing like regular English shows, that if they come, we don't have audience for them.
Okay, so now we're back to the next thing, the audience. Yeah. All right, with the audience.
Yeah, I feel like we should like start doing regular, like once a month, regular improv English show. We'll get more, maybe only English speaking audience, but also Estonians who speak English. Maybe we can start organizing like English drop-in workshop, so we'll get that in a kind of like rolling, and now bring in international improvisers who will do a show with us and do a workshop. That's one idea.
It could be. I mean, sure. What are your priorities? It's another. As you are expanding the number of mics that you do or bar prog shows that you do.
Yeah, we can push one to English.
One could be English. Yeah.
Actually, that's good. I think,
The nice thing of that is that you could, as you were trying to, you could reuse a venue. Like you could totally just reuse Winkel for that, you know, whatever venue is easiest for us. Again, we're thinking low pressure, low stress. Like I appreciate you add more and more shows. It's more and more work.
I like this idea. will implement that.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when we get new...
Well, all in good time. You know,
yeah, yeah. Probably not in next month, but sure. Well, we'll see. We'll see how our bar profs go and can open an English show. Yeah, because there are like, even in Tartu, there are like many students who don't speak Estonian.
Yeah, it could be. It would be good to... I think it would be one of those experiments.
Yeah.
I probably start, well, let's see. I don't know, to start in Tartu, because maybe you've got more guys or more comedians in Tartu. So you might go, okay, talent's bigger, more international people. But then if you've got a better, you know, comedians or just available in Tartu, it's just easier for you to do a show in Tartu. That also has credibility as well. You know, like, okay, easiness to do something is also important for you to get rolling with it. And again, if you're just practicing, you don't mind. There's not maybe not so many people there.
Yeah,
it could be. I mean, it's having said all that, I'm trying to not do international shows after just convincing you that you should be doing.
No, but I when the experience I've had with like international improvisers, like coming in and doing a show, I personally like it. I feel the like the freshness they bring, maybe new ideas. The other people in community see it. Oh, that's how you can do it too. Or like, oh, he's good. Like, it gives more inspiration and motivation to improv more. Oh. So I think it has a positive influence.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like especially now with the corona also. That I've been living in this Estonian improv bubble for too long. I haven't seen anything and taken a workshop from...
Can you travel? Can you go somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going to Copenhagen in October.
Oh, great. What's happening in Copenhagen?
They have a festival, an improv festival for a week, 7 days then, yeah. We're going to take workshops and see the shows.
Nice. Okay, that's good. That's good to get out.
Yeah. When I've done 10 years, I can take a workshop from people who've done it 20 years.
So. Should be able to take a workshop from anybody. You got to learn from anyone.
That's true. That's true. You should always have a, what can I learn from this workshop? So, yeah.
That's cool, man. That's nice. That'll keep you fresh and then different things, make those contacts.
Yeah, because now the best shows I see is the shows that we are doing. I want to, see something different.
It definitely makes a difference. Now, you said you were telling me that you got your website up and running.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what? It's a whole new thing going on. The theme is there. The whole thing's in. Okay.
Yeah. It's running. You can buy tickets.
We can buy tickets on there right now.
Yeah, you can buy tickets.
Okay. What ticket plugin did you use again?
Montonio.
Wait, weren't they the vendor? Didn't you say that was the...
The ticket plugin. Ticket plugin. Yeah, that's Tikera.
Tikera.
We are not using the full potential of Tikera. Let me think. The only thing that Tikera is doing for us now is, well, the people gets a ticket.
Okay, sure.
For sure. Otherwise, they would just get the receipt. Now they get a ticket too. And I get an overview by the event, how many people were in that event. Because if you just sell it as a WooCommerce product, then everything is just a WooCommerce product.
Right.
But now I can categorize them in a ticket kind of way, I guess.
Okay. So you can sell a ticket. Do you get a barcode scanner that you can scan barcodes?
Don't do that because when we're doing, now our shows are for free, so no tickets for our shows, only for workshops. And when the instructor asks me, how many are there? I'm like, 8, and these are the names.
Okay, so it's different sort of thing.
There's no need to start coding.
Sure.
That's what I mean. We're not using the full potential of Tikera. You can also, do the seat planning and all those things we don't need it now at the moment. Yes.
Okay, that's cool. All right. So you've got that set up. You've got the game, the payment gateway, the Monero, was
Montonio.
It? Montonio. That's it.
Yeah. Very, very good deal. Okay. Lose your Maxigescus and take Montonio.
Yeah, I got to find out more info offline.
I will tell you the prices. Yeah. it will blow your mind.
In the secret. Okay. So we're using, so the way it works, you have a website, you use WordPress, which is the system that just runs the website, and then there's plugins. And then you need the plugin to do selling in general, which is what WooCommerce is. That lets you sell products. And then you need the add-in to that to sell tickets specifically. So a ticket is a type of product. And then you need to hook all of this through a payment gateway. Mm. And there's a plugin again for the payment gateway. So when someone says pay, they get actually redirected to Montonio or Maxicascus or wherever it might be to actually take your money. And then those payment gateways will take a commission. So even if you sell yourself, you still have a commission in the cost, but it should hopefully be much less with one of those providers.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. And at the end of the day, you just pray that nothing breaks. Because if you would build a website on your own, then you can like, I think it would be more solid. Right now, I have one plugin there and the other developer one plugin there. Okay. And all of these are like, it's such a fragile system, I feel. If I do one thing wrong, the whole system will crumble.
Here's what, okay, from our experience, what I advise you to make sure you can do is, can you do ticket refunds?
Yes.
Okay. Have you practiced this?
I did. I made a product, €1, bought it myself. Just to see if the money transfers this works. And then I did a ticket refund. Okay. But I don't know if I did it correctly. Well, I got my money. So how I did ticket refund is in the web page backend side, I put it refunded. Mm-hmm. And then the person will get an email hey, your ticket has been refunded. Mm-hmm. But I have to log into Pank and refund it manually there. It's not so connected, I think. Yeah.
That's something to check. Okay, because, well, at least with Maxicascus, when we have that plugin, we can do that automatically.
Oh, on the so web I can page go to the,
at least from Foo Events and Maxicascus, I can look at the order for the tickets, say I'm refunding those two tickets, and then it'll automatically get pushed out into Maxicascus and pushed to them there.
Yeah,
because, I mean, that's something we had to face at the start of the pandemic particularly, was a lot of refunds. Mm-hmm. Not as many as through Billet Levy, but we still had to do 50 or 100 or something, and we just had to sit there. And it wasn't too hard. Click, 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 done. Okay. Click, 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 done.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one click, but it also wasn't super hard either. I would then also check as well, is it, when you do the refund, is it adding that ticket back into the sale? So okay, so that bit's good. So that's, and that ticket that was refunded is automatically invalidated as well. The little things to check, right? Is that old ticket, is that now invalid on the scanner? Can someone still get in with it?
Mm-hmm. That I did not check because we did. Not scanning.
what we had to do for our web shop was essentially make a bunch of operating procedures, like documents, right? What to do if there's a refund. You load up the Google Doc and you're like, okay, I got to do this with some screenshots, like almost like a little operating guide for the most regular things that you need to do. So almost so anyone could pick it up from our group and do it.
I should double check that if it doesn't go double if I refund it in the bank manually, and also because I have to on the web page I have to put it it's refunded, so I get the ticket back.
Yeah, so at least there, at least for you guys, I'll be writing out a document that you can just follow. Do this. It's refunded and everything's covered.
Yeah, there's when I add an event, or be it workshop or a show, you have to do it very precisely. Because this info over here, you have to add it correctly because it will show up in these places.
Yeah.
And you have to add this info correctly because it will show up on ticket. There's a web of things that has to be done correctly.
There's a lot of that stuff. Just learning, we're using the Foo Events plugin, and I think part of the reason we're not going to change for the moment is because we're just used to it. Mm-hmm. Now we know all those small quirks. It's not perfect, really not perfect, but we kind of know it for now, and it's enough. And our kind of thing that we're we're going for is that if there's a seating map at the venue, then it's going to be sold on Piletalevi. And if it's free seating, that there's not a seat map, then we sell it on our own web shop. And that's the broad definition that we're doing right now. Because sometimes, like we were just talking actually today with Sander's tour coming up. So Sander, okay, theater tour, absolutely. That's on Piletalevi. That's the place for that to be. But then he's got his three preview shows before that. One in Tallinn, Tartu, and Pärnu, in smaller rooms. I forget what the rooms are, but small rooms. And the question is then, well, do we put those on the web shop or do we... So do you sell them independently on the web shop because they're small shows without a seating map, or do we put them all into Piletalevi? And we eventually decided to, even though those three are small shows, put them all into Piletalevi because the whole tour is in Piletalevi. So, okay, then you can have one link that goes to that place. Because right now, Arimatti tickets are at arimatti.ee, which just takes you to Piletalevi. But the three international shows we're going to sell on our own web shop. So we're going to have arimatti.ee/Europe or something. So there's a slightly different URL actually for the international shows because that'll go to our web shop. Which we're selling, the show that's in the UK in London, we're selling on our web shop and we're going to sell it in euros because fuck them. So you can buy a show in London for 25 euros. I think it's going to be 25, I'm not sure. And I presume no one has a problem with that.
Oh man, I have to change also some cash to whatever Copenhagen has.
Danish crowns.
Yeah,
crowns. Okay, that's how many days are you going to Copenhagen for?
Seven. We'll go there on Sunday, then be and come on Monday. So Sunday, yeah, and we'll be the whole 7 days. We'll be there.
Nice.
I went to buy tickets, plane tickets, and was like, I think something happened. I don't remember what, but I was like, I'm gonna buy them tomorrow. And I'm going, God damn it, it's gone. I have to take a bigger flight time ticket now.
Yeah, always the way with flights.
Be fast.
Hey, man. So overall, I mean, to kind of wrap it up, and we've been going for about an hour now. I mean, you guys are feeling all right now, Rutakuma? You feel like you're getting your groove back?
Right now, I think the, I would, this is how we feel. We feel we have lots of potential.
Potential's good.
With the bar prob and with the workshops and like we feel the potential is high. So we'll see how it manifests during this season.
Nice. I think for you guys, as I look from the outside, it just be consistent. Ramp up slowly but surely, and it sounds like you're doing that. You know, you're not all of a sudden doing one show a week, you know, ramp up to a month, three a month. Ramp up slowly but surely, but it sounds like, you know, you're doing it. Just the consistent, I just think consistency is so much more important than someone being able to come out. You know, that's why I disdain anyone who thinks they're going to come out of the blue and run a comedy festival. No, fuck you. Do a show. 52 weeks a year. Yeah, the consistency is what will pay off with your audiences in the end.
Yeah. We've actually, about a funny story. I don't know how funny it is, but just a story maybe. Good. If you laugh, it's a funny story. If not, an educational story. But yeah, there was a comedy festival in a place it was their first comedy festival. They never done comedy shows, I don't know, maybe they've done festivals but not comedy festivals, so they invited us to perform because it's a comedy festival. So we went there, like most, it was like near a beach, so most people
Wait, is this in Estonia?
Yeah, in Estonia. Okay. So all most people are at the beach swimming swimming, and we got seven people for our audience, which did not affect the quality of the show. We had a very good show. But yeah, it just proves this point that if you just out of the blue, now it's a comedy show we have in this near this lake. People are there swimming.
I'm very skeptical that anyone who hasn't had experience with this stuff can put it on before. That it's not, well, okay, you see, so you guys are better than us. Stand up, to me, stand up is so fragile and needs such specific circumstances to work, the chairs and the lights and the sound and the no interruptions in the room and a private space. That I'm like, if you don't understand that, then it's not going to go well. But even I know my girlfriend was at a party on Saturday night, and a couple of your team were there. I think Rano and one young lady, I think as well, Christina, I want to say, Kay, no.
Maria in it.
Could be, I don't know. Oh, chicks, who knows?
Oh, Carolina.
Carolina, there we go. Yes. And that they were doing a show at this. There was just a party, a birthday party. I think the guy was, I forget, 30 something.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was exactly the sort of thing. So the show was good. It was funny. It was interactive. And it was exactly the sort of thing that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stand up isn't. Like when there's a wild party, you can just get in the middle and kind of. You've adapted your form to work in that environment very well.
I think improv is we can adapt that a bit better.
I think you guys are cheaper than us too.
I think that show for sure was cheap because I think it was Carolina's friend or something. I think it was just cash.
I think there was some connection there. Yes, I was told there was some connection.
But now I moved to out of the city, in the suburb, and so the people are like celebrating their children first birthday or so. I'm like, hey neighbor, I'm performing here. So I've done like two shows for my neighbors. But I can do that. I can't imagine if I would do stand up there, like people in the backyard. Stand up.
They kind of gotta want it. Like they've got to be like enthusiastic for it. And even then, you need to watch. Sometimes we get a booking, and then we're like, "Oh, you wanted the party? Okay. Is it just you that like stand up, and you want to inflict this upon everybody you know, or is there a general vibe like you know everyone's gonna want it? Some parties are great. They're all connected and they're enthusiastic. And sometimes you realize, okay, everyone's partying. No one wants to listen to us. This isn't gonna. And we kind of gotta. Learn to work that out by talking to the person and getting a feel for what's happening. And finally, you're going to come and do the stand-up comedy Vascovetti show.
I'd love to. Yeah.
You got to do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I've already got, there's one this week, which is what we're in September. So October. I haven't got the date yet, but.
All right.
Book me October.
Yes. I need to check the date.
I'll check you the date. If the date's free, and you've got to do, 15 to 20 minutes or something like that?
No problem. I will. Yeah, I have extra motivation. I have the material. I just have to do it.
Cool. Well, thank you, Martin. Thanks for coming along, man.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Doing this monthly wrap-up of the comedy situation in Estonia.
Yeah. Thanks for paying for the bus tickets. I feel like a star from another city.
That's right, but he's still got to get from the bus station to Telskivi in his own dime. Fuck that. cool, Martin. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for watching for our quick update. See you all next time. Bye-bye.